broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Yo, Ben. We've got the trades back, and your plantation course is protected. The trades are 15 to 20 miles per hour. The high to between 81 and 86 today. Mostly sunny. Isolated showers. We had a lot of rain overnight. Windward and Mocha sections, you can expect partly sunny skies, scattered showers today. Big Island, mostly cloudy, numerous showers in the morning on the windward side. That'll loosen up, become partly sunny. Leeward, partly cloudy in the morning, and then mostly cloudy with scattered showers in the afternoon. And trade winds, 15 to 20 miles per hour. And Mauna Loa continues to erupt. We've got tee times for you. Volcano, you can see it there. There's an 836, a 920, and a 1010. And we're going to give away two rounds of golf at Volcano Golf Club. Makalei has a 916. We've got on Kauai a 1030. And the Calgary Weekend Warriors are going out. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. Hawaii Kai has an 836, Turtle Bay a 950. We've got Royal Hawaiian Country Club at 10 o'clock, Bayview 10:30. Makaha East has a 909 and a 918. Wailea Gold Course, the Srixon Cleveland Tour. They're taking up the entire course. And HSJGA, they're on the Emerald Course. So everybody moved to the Blue Course. That leaves just one tee time, a 110 on the Blue Course at Wailea, and Maui Nui has an 11:48. Got a great show for you this morning. Bob Herrig, senior writer, Sports Illustrated, will be with us. Century Tournament of Champions tournament manager Amanda Wolf and the head of operations, Justin Slavin, they're going to join us. Jonathan Wall, managing editor, Equipment, Golf Magazine, golf.com, he's going to be with us. And Frank Nabilo, CBS Sports golf analyst, on-course reporter, 15-time champion worldwide, and founder of the Nabilo Foundation, a mission to support underprivileged children. We'll talk with him right after we thank the people who make this show possible.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. Brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood, broken pipe cleanup, 24/7 licensed and insured. Aloha Powers Superstore, next to the Costco gas station. We got merchandise busting at the seams. Honda blowers, weed whackers, generators, steel, Maruyama. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. SIPAC Cybersecurity, Hawaii's experts in cybercrime, ransom, and security. Keep your company safe. Call SIPAC. Cross Country Mortgage. Go see the experts and get your money ready to buy the home you want. Here's Danielle Tucker.
Thank you so much. And now let's bring in Frank Nabilo, golf analyst, CBS Sports, professional golfer, won 15 times worldwide, two-time President's Cup international team assistant captain, member of the New Zealand Golf Hall of Fame, and created the Nabilo Foundation. Welcome into the clubhouse, Frank.
Oh, Danielle, it's nice to be in the clubhouse. I feel like having a cup of coffee right now.
Yes, yes. I've got one right here. I wish I could share. All right.
No.
Last November, you had the Lend a Hand Dinner, and that's all a part of the Nabilo Foundation. That's where you raise the money, right?
Yeah, we actually just, we celebrated our 20th just a few weeks ago. We have our shopping, which is also a big part of the event, next week. So 20 years. My wife's done most of the work, as in most households. But, yeah, we're very proud of it. And we're happy to kick back into our own community. I think a lot of people are.
Yeah. Where's the shopping spree going to be?
It's actually in Target. What we try and do is we try and take close to about 1,000 kids shopping. Every kid gets about $100. They're chaperoned by volunteers as well. So, you know, we're trying to do it all hands. Their parents stay outside. Our volunteers, a lot of those people played in our golf day, attended our dinner. That's part of it. Sometimes they take their own kids, and it's a reminder really what Christmas is all about, because I remember Steve Sands, who's on our foundation once, he took his three boys and he was crying one year. I'm like, you know, what's up? I mean, did somebody yell at you or whatever? And they'd chaperoned a couple of kids and they were trying to, you know, distribute their $100 each and trying to also get parents presents for their parents. So it was, he was pretty moved. Yeah, a lot of people are, and I try and hang by the till. It makes it a little bit easier for me. Yeah. So if people go over the mark, we let it go. But it's a fun day, and it's just part of the many things we've been able to do now with the foundation.
Wow, that gives me goosebumps, chicken skin, because you know, they wanted to buy their parents gifts. That is so sweet. Instead of just thinking about themselves, wonderful. And I love what you do. It's just wonderful. And giving them the money to make the decisions for themselves, it's great. Now, this time of year, in fact, next year, we won't have the wraparound season anymore. Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, I am. You know, golf's in a really weird spot. That's stating the obvious. I think anybody, you know, would pick your adjective, really. But, you know, I'm a little disappointed, I guess. You know, previous generations, I benefited from them. I think always left the game in a better spot than where they found it. I'd hate to think going forward that this might be the generation where that trend stops. But, you know, golf's for everybody. It's a global game. I agree with that. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, the wraparound season, I think people still got confused. So, you know, we're having to adjust with everything going on, and it'll finish before football season. So, you know, we'll crown someone at the end of the year. The four majors would have been held just like this year, and then the FedEx Cup, and we'll sort of know really who the player of the year was.
Exactly. I love that. Though it ends, then football season begins, and then golf season starts again here on Maui Century Tournament of Champions. It's the way I feel most comfortable.
And the way it should be.
Yeah, it's the way it should be. And I sometimes think, you know, they complained about how they had to play all year long and it was so unfair. Not that they didn't have the option to choose the tournaments they wanted to play in. but it gave you the sense that you were playing all year long, right? This wraparound season. Golf never ended.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. I agree with you, but there's also a lot of hypocrisy there because, you know, I grew up, as you know, in New Zealand. So, like a lot of the players saying they couldn't go to Australia or they couldn't go to South Africa, it's what they're really saying is their parents' money wasn't enough. I know I often got paid when I went, you know, back in a homeward direction. Sometimes it was opposite the World Cup. You know, that was hard, so you'd skip tournaments at home. But, you know, it's amazing the people that have said they haven't been able to play at home, yet they've been managed to play somewhere else. I mean, there has always been a choice. So I think it's a convenient out. I've never really liked that. So I'm really curious now when the season finishes, sort of on October, you know, whether people still go back and play if they do not come from America. And I think you'll find a lot of them will still either duck it, or if they get paid, they'll go back home and play. So, you know, you really got to look underneath what's being said at the moment to really find the truth, which is a little disheartening.
Yeah, and I'm completely with you. I've not understood how people can use the growing the game. You know, growing the game, that started, I don't know, 20 years ago, we started talking about growing the game.
Yeah.
Right? And you know, the Augusta National was growing the game. PGA of America was growing the game with all these new programs that they have for children, for parents and children, for everybody to get it, for women to get into the game and enjoy themselves. So all this, you know, and I'm thinking, I don't understand how LIV Golf grows the game any more than anybody else. You know, how can you say, oh, yes, this is growing the game? I really don't quite understand all of that. We've come to a place, though, and, you know, is this the story of the year?
Yeah, it is.
Yes,
it is.
There's
no doubt about it. I mean, you know, I've tried to stay away from it, to be honest, because, you know, you do your job, which is call the event. You don't want to detract from the event you're doing. Whoever's on the screen, that's the person that deserves to be talked about. And if you've chosen to watch somewhere else, well, then obviously you want the same there. It's a bit like the World Cup going on in soccer. You know, you know, yesterday I was watching, I think it was Brazil against Cameroon. You know, that's the game I'm watching, not another game. So But, you know, I think one of the things that, that Liv is, you know, if I'm going to be critical, I think it lost an opportunity, because if you really do want to use your terminology, grow the game, I mean, there's a lot of areas in golf that really you could bolster the sport and you could play elsewhere. I have a few friends that have jumped ship as announcers as well as players. And I remember talking to them and they go, well, you know, look at Formula One. And my reply to that was, well, America had its NASCAR and it had its IndyCar series. Formula One grew up elsewhere in Europe. And then it's become such a big product. It's the highest watched sporting event, with the exception of the soccer that's going on right now, or football, depending on what you want to call it. But Formula One grew hugely through Europe, and now we're going to have four events in America next year on the Formula One calendar, because America wants what they saw develop globally. And they go, hey, there's a really good product. So it's being pushed. I actually think, Liv, if they really wanted to do a lot of what they've tried to say, which is bolster the game, you would go in areas that really, you know, because you've got, you know, 50, you've got 48 players. You could take it anywhere. You could go to Poland. I mean, there's a Polish player leading the Australian Open this year, Adrian Morong, who went, actually went to East Tennessee State. I know I'm going all over the place again.
It's
but,
okay.
You know, there's a chance to actually, you know, really take the game in other areas. So as soon as they said they were going to play in America, then it just, it basically a battle line was drawn. And it could never finish nicely. And now we're in the courts, you know, and the lawsuits are going backwards and forwards. There was an opportunity really to go to South Africa, to maybe touch in areas in Europe, or even maybe work with the European Tour, Far East, Australasia, New Zealand. Yeah, there were so many other areas that could have been done with that type of money.
With that kind of money? Yeah.
Yeah,
that would be growing the game. You know, taking it into countries like Uganda. You know, I have a friend, yeah, telephone friend, who's, you know, trying to put together schools for Ugandan kids so they can learn the game, because it opens doors for them. You know, as they grow older, they'll have more access. And it's true. You can play golf, you have more access. You have more opportunities to meet and greet. And it's just a whole lot of fun. What's also been fun, and I'm going to change a little bit here now, we're going to go to Hero and Tiger Woods,
yeah,
and the plantar fasciitis obviously hasn't changed one iota, because he was working so
conference
hard.
Conference recording started.
He was working so hard to make sure that he could play in the Hero that he hurt himself by overusing his feet, I suppose. But seeing him in the booth, That was entertainment. What did you think of seeing Tiger Woods in the booth?
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, his golfing mind, I remember just, you know, playing alongside him, you know, the 90s when he first came out, watch him develop. I mean, you talk about a foundation to what he's done. I mean, a lot of people said, well, he had to, but he didn't. And I remember, you know, many a times in Sherwood Country Club, and whether I played in that or assisted and tried to help out, the millions of dollars he's raised and for the schools. So we're starting to really see a different side. He's become the statesman. And his golf knowledge, it's good. He's candid. I mean, he's got the resume to basically say what he wants to do. And it's great. I mean, he came to the booth at CBS at Riviera, and he was great. He was, you know, normally you only keep him for a segment. And it sounds terrible when you say he's happy, because it makes it seem like he's miserable most of the time. He's wasn't. But he was really happy. Just the fact that there he was, and even though he couldn't play, he was looking forward to Augusta. I mean, Jim Nance even asked, is that where we'll see you? And he was, rather than just go, you know, shut it down, he sort of played with the question a little bit. But he was great. You know, he was interactive. I mean, just his golf mind. He was sharing it, which is good, because for so many years, he's kept that under wraps because that's his competitive skill. But he's sharing it with the Justin Thomases and the Rory McIlroys of the world and anyone else that's prepared to ask. And now he's also sharing it with the, you know, with the viewer. And he's got a deceptively funny sense of humor, too. I used to see that in Inside of the Ropes before I jumped ship. And I missed that, actually. Because you could needle him. I remember playing with him at Pebble Beach one year. We're still on the first year. I hate me telling the story. And a good friend of his was Jerry Chang. And I was playing with the CEO of PNC Bank. And so I was just introducing, it was on the summit, I was introducing Tiger, on the first tee, just a way where people couldn't hear. And I said, Jim Rohr from PNC Bank. He goes, hey, this is Jerry Chang. He's a friend of mine. I said, Tiger, you don't have any friends, And you could say that right up. But he just laughed. I mean, I can't repeat what he said back to me. But it was great. And I've actually missed that side of him. And I'm so happy it's starting to come out. Because it's pretty cool.
Yes, it is. Exactly. And he looks so comfortable, in television. Now, I do TV traffic, so I'm on set. And one tends to be very, staid. You sit up straight. You're very proper, looking into the camera. And he's at home in his comfortable chair, just hanging with the guys who happen to be on set with him and chit-chatting. It's and telling you some really, really cool things about what we're watching. And I just thought that was very cool. I don't imagine he'll want to do that for the rest of his life like some guys do, transitioning from playing to broadcasting. But, boy, that would be nice. I was looking at Victor Hovland, Xander Schauffele, Scotty Scheffler, Cameron Young, Colin Morikawa. Wonderful names at the top of the leaderboard. And right behind all these guys, are a young man who's really captured us. It's Tom Kim. What do you think of Tom?
Yeah. I'd seen the name before, but, CB, we covered the Scottish Open this year. That was a joint effort between the DP, or I still call it the European Tour, and the PGA Tour. And I thought it was really good because I thought, we're going to get a lot more of that. So this is the second time we've done it. And, I think he three-putted the last from the front edge, and I think he lost by two. But watching him come down the stretch, and that was the first time I'd sort of watched him exclusively over a couple of days, because he was in the hunt. I'm like, how old is this kid? What was he, 25, 26, 27? No, he's younger than that. I mean, yes. Wait a minute. You start looking at his resume, and I thought, he's really got game. I mean, he hit this gorgeous long iron into 18. I mean, just absolutely striped it. It just hit the front, and it didn't kick forward. So it came up about 45 feet short, and he had a run at it too. So he got the worst result, still finished second. And then I thought, I love watching, as we've talked before, some of the young talent that comes through, and you try and keep your, like Minwoo Lee, for example. I remember seeing him 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, he's world class now. But Tom Kim, he just had that sort of, this is going to sound terrible where I say it's unusual for a Korean, but normally, they're much more reserved.
Yes.
And, Lydia Ko just down the road, it's just the way they're brought up. Everyone's sort of very respectful, but his English, I guess he lived in Australia for about 7 years. So when you heard, the first time I heard him, and I didn't know that, and I heard him in an interview, and I'm like, well, he's so relatable, multilingual. I'm like, what an advantage. And then the President's Cup, I just thought he was an absolute, he was the star.
Yes, he was.
Star of the President's Cup. He really was. So, golf, the one good thing, well, not the one good thing, but the good thing about golf, Tiger Woods, you just talk about him, as he departs playing on a regular basis, you sort of take this big breath and you go, well, what's going to happen? And then you just see a rush of young players and you go, you might know their names, but you go, they can really play. And then you put a name to it like Tom Kim, and you go, and he's got personality. So, yeah, he's a huge breath of fresh air.
Yes, he is. And I think of Colin Morikawa in the same vein, and Colin had that, and I just did a past tense thing right there, which isn't necessarily what I wanted to do. But golf does it to all of us, right? It doesn't matter how good you are. You can be on this fabulous streak and you're doing everything and you're getting all the results you couldn't possibly have even dreamed of. And it's falling in your lap and you're like, yes, this is fantastic. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, God giveth and God taketh away, Where did it go?
Yeah. But he's still ahead of the curve. He's got two majors that... The PGA Championship he won, with the amazing tee shot at Harding Park on that 16th hole, where he makes eagle. And then I was at Royal St. George's when he won there. It was a clinical finish. He played alongside Rory.
Yeah.
And it was just clinical. So, yeah, I think he's just ahead of pace. you know, he's gone through the COVID major. Basically, he wins and no one else is around. So, you know, he made that adjustment. And then all of a sudden, when he wins the Open, I mean, you got people up the yin yang, really, up there. So, you know, like, it's totally different. And then he's a star. So, you know, he's had to adjust to a lot of different things, I think, if you really dig down into the weeds. And, you know, I know when I first, we have a guy at CBS called Josh Pick, who's an excellent statistician, sadly hasn't been able to travel. And he first pointed Colin out to me at Travelers, I'm going to say 4 years ago. And so I saw him on the range, and I'm like, hey, this, every shot was the same. It was like this beautiful little fade. But it looked like it was a draw swing, to be honest. But everything was just like a 5 yard cut. It was magnificent. And then I just see, you know, he just lost it, in an effort to try and get better, like everybody does. He's tried to learn to draw the ball. And now, you know, you sort of miss on the left side every now and again. So he's just adjusting. He's trying to get his game better. So you're always going to have a period of time where you go, have I just gone too much that way? But he'll settle in. He's got a great head on his shoulders.
He does. Absolutely. And that's exactly from what I've heard. I don't know because I'm never that close to the coaches and what have you. Lydia Ko, she wanted to get more distance. She tried to change, get a different fade, draw, but, you know, and pretty soon all of the natural instincts that you've honed since, I don't know how long, she's 14, she started winning. So you got to go, you know, whoa, you were really good doing what you were doing. So, you know, you got to go back, add a little thing here and there, but don't try, you know, the changing of the swing just drives me nuts. It's like Bryson DeChambeau deciding he has to put on 50 pounds of whatever so that he can get distance and,
it makes sense though, because when you get good that quick, Lydia, she's just lives three doors down from me, you know, so I've watched her, and obviously, you know, her growing up in New Zealand, so I've watched through the whole thing. But, you know, when you're that good that quick, you know, it's like your appetite, right? You're that hungry that even just a little bit of success is like you're going backwards. So they just have to fill the void. So they fall in the trap because, you know, they're just, you know, they're like going at hyper speed. So 50 miles an hour doesn't cut it. And so I got to do something else. I got to hit it further. I've got to pup it. I got to chip it. I got to revamp everything. Tiger Woods did it. You know, they've all done it. It's because they're that good, that damn good, and their appetite for success is huge. So it has to be sated. And that's the problem, sadly. If they just were mediocre and improved a little bit by a little bit, yeah, they wouldn't have that sort of desire to try all those weird and wonderful things.
Gosh, you just solved the the mystery.
Hey,
has been
too good.
Solved.
But you see that, you know, with smart kids as well. You know, like when they go to college, you know, you got like a 12-year-old that's, you know, basically going, you know, that's, you know, got an IQ of like 160. You know, like they don't fit in because they're just, you know, their own peers they can't relate to. So they're hungry to go, well, you know, I got to fit in somewhere. So that they're constantly trying to find that place where they're comfortable.
Yes. Beautiful. Wow. Frank Nabilo, golf analyst, CBS Sports, is with us. And I you know, once a year, it's like, I don't want to let you go. But I know you.
Now you got plenty of good guests today.
Yes, I do.
You got plenty of good guests.
But I'm just one on a real happy note. I had no idea that Steve Stricker had this terrible illness that put him in the hospital with his white blood cell count up and his liver count dropping and inflammation around the heart. You know, it was pumping out of rhythm. I'm reading this, going, my God. And he came back, and his whole family's a golf family. It's that's a wonderful story. I think that's the story of the year. What do you say?
Well, yeah, a good friend of mine, Aris Sapaya, is a doctor. He's works at the emergency unit just at an Advent Health down the road. But he's also sports-specific, so he deals with a lot of the players, Steve being one of them. So when he told me what was going on with Steve, I just couldn't believe it. And he goes, it was really close. I mean, it could have been really, really bad. And but you know, Steve, I remember first meeting Steve, I think 94, 95 in the Dunhill Cup. And then, you know, he was playing great. He'd won like three times. Then he went through the dip. And then I remember being at Barclays. I changed over to which was the old Westchester. And I transitioned into broadcasting. And I remember being there when he won. And I was working for Golf Channel. We came in there. And you know when you have history with people, just to give you a good Steve Stricker story, and I said, have you rung Nicky? And we're just about to come on camera. And I had my – he didn't have his phone with him. I said, do you want to call her? And he just started crying. You know, aww. It was that he'd never changed. You know, it's one of those people they always say, careful you're not going up because they'll remember when you're coming down. Steve Stricker never knocked anybody going up, and he never knocked anybody coming down. And he's – you know, he's what golf's all about. He's a poster child for the good side of golf.
Amen. And Nikki, by the way, if you don't know, is Steve's wife, and she's been a caddy for him for many, many times. She's a wonderful person. And you're a wonderful person. Say hello to your wife for me. Frank Nablo, golf analyst, CBS Sports. Thanks for being on the show. It's always fun talking with you in the holiday season. Thank you, Frank.
Hey, thank you, Daniel. Have a great Christmas.
You too. Aloha. All right, we've got Jonathan Wall, Managing Editor, Equipment, Golf Magazine, golf.com. He's coming up. He's got this column, Wall to Wall, every Monday, okay? Wall to Wall, it's all about equipment. It's all the breaking news, the latest trends, the rumors, all of that good stuff right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me? Let's go. I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Okay, I promised you at the beginning of the show that we're giving two rounds of golf. Volcano Golf Course. You know, it's like overlooking Mauna Loa. So I want you to have them. And all you got to do, just ninth caller. I make this so easy. The number 808, okay, we all got to do the 808 thing, 545-1111, 808-545-1111. And, you know, you can give them to a friend, that's the holidays. You want to collect as many holiday gifts as possible. Yeah, so 808-545-1111.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Eveleigh. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore. Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle. Ball set up sweetly in the bunker. I set myself comfortably into the sand, swing for under the ball, and it sails up onto the green and into the hole. Let's go back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Isn't that a great dream? Yeah, well, we can all dream it. And imagine taking someone to Volcano Golf Course and, you know, how are they going to be able to focus on their game? Yeah, that probably wouldn't be fair. But fun, right? You'd all have fun. That's the way to go. Jonathan Wall, managing editor, Equipment, Golf Magazine, and golf.com. Column is Wall to Wall Equipment every Monday. Latest trends, rumors, breaking news. PGA Tour Equipment editor, he was at one time, and now he's managing editor, Equipment, Golf Magazine, golf.com. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jonathan.
Hey, Danielle. It's great to be back.
It's good to have you. It's always fun to have you. I found one of those moments in my life, you know, when golf definitely is not the game of perfect, right? We know that. Here you are writing about Titleist with Justin Thomas's input, pursuing the perfect iron design.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. I've actually been chasing this one for a little while and trying to get Titleist to give up the details, and finally they did on a recent whirlwind trip that I had on the West Coast. They had me over to their, so I don't think a lot of people realize this, but Titleist has their ball plants, but their golf ball plants are all located on the East Coast in Massachusetts. But their golf club production area and where they do their R&D and their prototyping for new clubs, that's located in Carlsbad,
right,
out in California. So I was out there and had a chance to really dig into what makes Justin Thomas's new iron so different. Recently, Webb Simpson actually had a set of prototypes made. These are different than a lot of the irons that we've seen out on tour, because these are total one-offs. And people might say, well, you know, other golfers have had complete one-offs. Well, no, these irons, Titleist essentially asked Justin Thomas, hey, we would like to make you a set of custom irons, but instead of just giving you a profile of an iron that we think you'd like, we want you to look at four or five different models from over the years, even going back to the 90s, to different, you know, more traditional blades, and tell us what you like about these irons. And they were able to incorporate all of these different aspects from the different models into one iron for Justin. It was a really cool story. It even had tried the Tiger method of putting tungsten behind the hitting area to see if Justin liked the same feel as Tiger. He did not. But again, it just goes to show you that manufacturers are continuing to push the limits. Titleist has been doing it. A lot of it, I feel like, stems from their concept line that they released back in 2016. These were irons that were, $300 or $400 a piece. Drivers that were, you know, close to $1,000, and people, you know, their eyes get big. But you have to realize this is Titleist really pushing the boundaries and not having any sort of, financial constraints. They're just trying to make the best possible clubs for golfers. And I think that by doing that, they were able to say, well, hey, look, why can't we do this same sort of thing for our tour pros? And that's what they're doing now. They're making custom one-off irons for professionals, and maybe down the road they're able to offer a complement of options for irons where golfers can pick from different sole grinds or different toe profiles or top lines, kind of similar to their Vokey line. It's very exciting about the possibilities of being able to have sort of a platter of options to pick the best iron for your game.
Oh, that's nice. That's not at all what I see. I did not read the whole article. I don't like to, because then I know too much.
It was too long, Danielle. It took a while to write, but it was a very long article. So I don't blame you for wanting to read the whole thing.
It's not the length, because, you know, if you know everything, then it's just you and me talking. If I'm talking to you about something that I don't know that much about, except to ask you questions because it's fascinating, then I can get the information and we all share it. So this is like a custom iron just for Justin Thomas, like they would be a custom iron just for Tiger Woods, kind of like what Nike did. Didn't Nike do everything custom for Tiger?
They did. So the difference is that when Mike Taylor, I've actually gotten to know Mike over the years and written about him for the magazine. When Mike was working on Tiger's irons, all of that was done by hand. Mike Taylor is a throwback to a bygone era, where now a lot of today's equipment is all designed using CNC milling machines, and the machines are able to shape these irons to perfection. So you don't have to worry about one iron being a little bit different than the next. TaylorMade has done this with Tiger's current irons, the P7TWs. Those are done with a CNC milling machine, and that's how they're able to make one iron to the next. They're identical. So when Tiger puts it down, he doesn't have to, you know, and this is a crazy story, but when Tiger was still a Titleist, he would go through, they would make him five or six sets of irons, and Tiger would go through each set with each iron, and he would find the one iron from each of those sets that fit, and then he would basically create a set based on how each iron performed through the turf, how it felt, how it looked, because again, they weren't all identical. There were little variations that Tiger could pick up on. Nowadays with the CNC milling, you don't have to worry about that. And that's where Titleist is, you know, before it would take them about 3 weeks to get Justin Thomas a set of irons because they would hand grind these irons. And his irons, not to get too technical, have zero offset, which means that if you were to set your iron down, you would probably notice that the hosel of your club where the shaft enters the top of the club, that hosel leading down to the leading edge of the club, that part where that's going to interact the turf or hopefully interact the turf first, it's going to be offset and just pushed back a little bit from the hosel. And that's going to help if golfers struggle with a slice. It's going to help kind of close the face or at least get it a little bit closer to square at impact. Now, with Justin Thomas, he doesn't want any offset, and that's just because he likes that look at address. So the hosel literally just blends right into the leading edge. It's a scary look at address. Rory McIlroy one time looked at Ricky Fowler's irons and said, to a set of zero offset irons, these things give me the shakes. Like, a lot of golfers like to see, even some of the best players in the world, like to see some semblance of offset, but Justin doesn't. And because Titleist didn't have a set of irons already built with zero offset, they had to bend these irons and grind them out, and it was a really arduous process that forced them to just have to grind and bend and grind and bend to just get all the offset out of these heads. And it was about a three-week process to get him a set of irons. Now with CNC milling, they can get Justin a set in about 3 to 4 days.
Wow.
So it really expedites the process. And again, Justin doesn't have to worry from one to the next. And these are custom. They look exactly like he wants. They feel exactly like he wants. It's perfect for Justin. And that's what Titleist is going for. They're trying to make the perfect iron for each golfer.
That's wonderful. And what you said, he likes the look. I mean, I used to call it sexy. If it makes you feel good inside, when you look down at your club, you know, and it's laying the way you want it to when you're holding it at address, you know, that is almost as important as your grip.
It's more important, Danielle, in my opinion, because if the golf club doesn't look good to the golfer, it doesn't really matter how it feels or how it performs. If you can't get over the look, you're never going to like your clubs. And that's the one thing that I constantly will tell golfers is, before you ever buy a set of irons, make sure you are extremely happy with that look. You want something that when you put it down every single time, you're going to go, man, that thing looks good. And it's going to give you a little bit of added confidence. You know, that's what we want. As golfers, we're constantly looking for that confidence boost in our equipment. And that ultimately starts with, how does it look at address? Because again, if it doesn't look good, it's going to always leave a bad taste in your mouth, and then you're going to feel like, well, what else is out there?
Yes, and it's an extension of you. When you hold the club at address to the ball, that is an extension of you. So if you feel like, oh yeah, you know, I like this being a part of me, it's totally understood. Absolutely. I've held a club. I went, this isn't me. It's like my putter. I don't want to ever give up my putter. You know, people are talking about mallets and this and that. I just like my blade. I love my blade. It's a Bettinardi blade. I've had it for years. Eventually somebody's going to say, Daniel, you have to turn it in. No, I don't want to turn it in.
You could just say, fight me for it.
Yes, exactly. Come over here. Jonathan Wall is managing editor, Equipment, Golf Magazine, and golf.com. There was another article that I must bring up because, I mean, Nelly Korda, I mean, she added 10 yards with a minor gear change. I mean, how many people would like to do that? A minor gear change and you get 10 yards. What is the minor gear change?
Yeah, so, you know, this is, I feel feel like Nelly Korda's story is a great one for golfers because it highlights the importance of getting fit for your golf clubs. And that's not to say that Nelly Korda didn't get fit. It's just she's gotten faster. You know, she had some niggling injuries. She started to pick up more speed again. And one of the things that they started to notice with Nelly was, hey, look, you're hitting it far out there, but your spin rate, you know, how the ball is spinning coming off the club face at impact, that spin rate is just a little bit too high. Now, there is a fine line between too little spin and too much spin, and that's what the professionals are constantly trying to find. And that's what recreational golfers, in my opinion, should be trying to find as well is, you know, if you're a faster swing speed player, you know, like a Nelly Korda, you can get away with maybe 2,200 RPMs of spin, but you know, that trying to get that low spin number, you're also trying to maximize how the ball is launching. So the launch of that golf ball coming off the club face. And what they found out was by lowering the loft on Nelly's driver, they were able to add 10 yards just simply by making that adjustment. And that's one of the things that I constantly tell golfers, do I need a new driver? And I say, well, no, I mean, look at the professionals. A lot of them are just making minor adjustments to their clubs and seeing what happens. Now, not all of us have, you know, a $10,000 or $15,000 launch monitor at our disposal like Nelly does.
Right.
But, you know, most of the fitters out there nowadays, Danielle, have those launch monitors available. So go take your driver up to your local golf store and say, hey, look, I feel like I'm maybe spinning it a bit too much. Can I test my driver out on your launch monitor? And all of them are going to say yes because they're looking to transact. So maybe you don't buy a new club from them today, but maybe because of that positive experience, you come back and buy one. And again, that's what Nelly was able to find is just minor adjustments to her driver that add distance. And that's what we're all going for is those minor adjustments in golf, unfortunately or fortunately, end up really improving our gear. And sometimes it might mean an extra 10 yards.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, that's the fitting part. You know, it's like you wouldn't wear a size 12 if you're a size 8 pants, you know, or anything. It'd fall off you. So it's the same thing. You want to make sure that your equipment is fits you right. And sometimes even a change is necessary, right? I would think, Jonathan, if you get better at the game, you know, or if you're coming back to the game, maybe you may need to have somebody take a look at you again.
For sure. I mean, this is we get into the fitting. This is an area that I get excited about because this is where golfers can really find a passion for the game. If they've been struggling, or as you mentioned, maybe they've had injuries, maybe you've gotten better. You know, you just constantly have to. The way that I do it is I view golf equipment like I would a yearly checkup. You know, everybody should go and they should go to their doctor and they should just get a yearly checkup, see how you're doing, see how your levels are, get some blood work and just make sure everything's fine. You know, chances are there's probably nothing wrong, but hey, you know what? At least you should go and just get checked out. And I feel like it's the same way with our equipment.
True.
You know, if you play golf, you should find a time every year and you should look at the clubs in your bag and you should say, all right, what have my scores been? What have my misses been? What can I improve on? Am I getting too good for my irons? Maybe I'm going the opposite direction. Maybe I need more distance. And we need to ask ourselves these questions because we have to look at our equipment as it's not a permanent thing in our bag. It's going to change over time. And maybe it's not the head. Maybe it's a different shaft. You know, there are different adjustments we can make. And that's why, again, it's so important that you find a reliable fitter, somebody that you trust who can analyze your gear and you build a relationship over the years. And then they can kind of tell you like a doctor, hey, look, I hear what you're saying. We should probably look at changing out this shaft. Or we should probably look at, you know, maybe going to a draw bias head if you're constantly slicing it now. But don't feel like you have to conform to your equipment. Make the equipment conform to you. And that's what I don't think a lot of golfers do is they play clubs that aren't fit for their game. Unfortunately, again, going back to the looks, because they love the look of a club, but maybe it's not as forgiving as they need.
Mm-hmm.
And what ends up happening is they end up making adjustments in their swing to try and fit that gear. And when you do that, you're just hurting your game. You're just losing strokes. So again, find a time every year, go get fit, And if you do that, you're going to find you're going to be dropping shots. I'm not saying you're going to drop five shots off, you know, off your regular score, but I wouldn't be surprised if you dropped at least 2 to 3 off your score just simply if you have gear that's fit to your game.
Jonathan Wall, Managing Editor, Equipment, Golf Magazine, golf.com. I wish you were on at least once a month. You know, there's I've got loads to talk to you about. Tony Finau's incredibly expensive golf balls. Thank you so much for being on the show. Are you there still, Jonathan? Jonathan. I've lost Jonathan. Oh, my. Okay.
I'm here.
Oh, there he is. Well, we're losing you, Jonathan. Always a pleasure talking with you. So much information. Jonathan Wall's Managing Editor, Equipment, Golf Magazine, golf.com. His column is Wall to Wall Equipment. Go to golf.com and then look up, you know, they'll have a whole, like, list, a menu of what you can find. It's on the far right, wall to wall. You got it. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SIPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets with the serenity that comes from having SIPAC watching your network and infrastructure so you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at SIPAC.com.
Congratulations. Oh, yes, SIPAC. You really need to get in touch with them. They're great people and they can really help you with cybersecurity. And congratulations, Tito. You won those two rounds of golf at the Volcano Golf Club. You're going to love it there. And we've got coming up from the Century Tournament of Champions, Amanda Wolf, the tournament manager, Justin Slavin, the head of operations, after this.
MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair. Mold remediation. Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now, get MD cleaned. It's the Century Tournament of Champions Winner Circle with Max Novina, Executive Director of the Century Tournament of Champions and hosted by Danielle Tucker. Golf's first tournament of the new year, keeping you on top of what's happening at Century Tournament of Champions at the Plantation Course, Kapalua, Maui, January 5th to the 8th, 2023. Spectators, volunteers, media, and whales leaping out of the water to watch the best of the best challenge Maui's Kapalua Plantation Course. Here's Max Novina and Danielle Tucker.
Max can't be with us this morning, but we've got two of his top seconds in command. Amanda Wolf, the tournament manager, Justin Slavin, the head of operations. Let me say good morning first to Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Aloha, Danielle. Excited to be here.
I'm glad you're here. And Justin, hi.
Hey, Danielle, how are you?
Awesome. Thank you for being here. You know, what you guys are putting together and the way everything is so seamlessly run by the Century Tournament of Champions, you folks making it just easy. The building and the, you know, the incredible effort that so many people put together. Are you coordinating? Tell me, first let's start with Amanda. As tournament manager, do you coordinate all of this?
Yes, together with Justin, we both coordinate the build that comes into town. I'll say Justin does a lot of it, so I'll tee it up to him and let him speak to a lot that happens on the course.
And
yeah, thank you, Amanda.
Yeah, please, Justin.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we started the build on Monday. So this is a unique event where it's a lot shorter of a time frame, but we go 5 weeks straight for the next 5 weeks of building every day. This event has turned into such a larger event than it used to be, and now that it's even an elevated event, we ship a lot of stuff over from the mainland, so a lot of coordination there involved. So I got here on island on Saturday, so it just hit the ground running since.
So you're going to build out all of those beautiful buildings that we see on 18, where people get to sit in the what are the sky boxes and just watch all the players come down?
Yeah. Century has a skybox on 18 Green as well as 1T as our title sponsor. And then we have the Aloha.
Oh, did we just lose Justin? Amanda, are you still there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. For some reason, Justin just disappeared, kind of like Jonathan. Well, it was very strange. Amanda, let's pick it up here.
No worries.
Thank you. The players, I always think about this because all the players come to Hawaii. It's the holidays, right? So why wouldn't you do a 2 or 3 week vacation here? Staycation.
Sorry about that, guys. I don't know what happened. The phone just hung up there.
Oh, no problem. I'm glad you're back. Yay.
Yeah, me too. So like I was saying, the Aloha Club on 18 Green as well. That's one of our biggest venues, and that's actually doubled in size this year. So we're really excited. It's our first year having private hospitality as well with the tournament. So we have a lot of great clients that the addition of Max and Amanda selling has really contributed to this event. So we're really excited there.
Okay, you're going to have to explain to me what that means when you say, in addition to this year, you have more private hospitality. Tell me what that is.
Yeah, exactly. So we have companies that can rent out bays of the Aloha Club, and they'll have private servers and just a more upgraded food and beverage experience. It's our first year doing it on the island, so obviously it's going to be a little bit different than exactly what we do on the mainland, but just that overall incredible experience that we will give for the tournament.
So if you have one of those bays, you can leave and come back. It's yours for the day or the week?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep. You have signage. There's signage that represents your company. You have reserved seating. And then, there's no one that would your ticket gets you in, and then you have a wristband, and there's no one that can sit in your spot or be anywhere near there.
Excellent. And now how do we get one of those?
Well, I think we're a little late at this point. So this the selling for this tournament, because of everything we have to ship over, we have a pretty strict build deadline, because, you know, if we wanted to build anything additional at this point, it would take way too long to ship from the deadline. But,
gotcha.
I mean, contacting Max and Amanda is definitely the best way. And, I mean, we're already selling for 2024 at this point. So
See? That's
the best way to go about that.
Yes, exactly. Plan ahead. If you've just heard about this, it's available next year, and you can make a really big do about it. So, Amanda, we started talking about what the players want is really where I'm going. You know, what are some of the requests that come in for the family experience?
Oh, boy. I could be here all day if we talked about that. But going into my fourth tournament here, it's just really remarkable to watch the players and their families start this tournament in Maui. They get really excited to be here. I'm lucky enough to travel to a couple other tournaments throughout the year. And one thing that comes up when I see them is Maui. Oh, my gosh, you're the one on Maui. Like, do I need to book my room already? Where should I stay? What should we do while we're there? So it's really funny. The running joke within our staff is I should set up my own travel company, because that's kind of what I become for some of them. But it's really awesome to be able to help them and feel their excitement when they come to this place, because it's really nothing like any other stop they have on tour. It's a great place for them to start, and they just really get to decompress with their families and prep for the year ahead of them, because these guys aren't home a lot, which it's hard for their families, and it's a lot on their spouses and their children. So to be able to bring all of them out here and just enjoy what Maui has to offer, it's really special, and it's a special experience for them.
Do they request tours of, let's say, Haleakala, or do they prefer just staying close to home and beaching it?
No, definitely. We're kind of all over the place. So some of them will come in early. They'll spend the Christmas holiday here. So they'll start, you know, over in the Wailea side. They'll do Haleakala. Some will do Rotahana. Mm-hmm. Some will even play around over at McKenna. We have some regulars that do that. Mm-hmm. And then they'll make their journey over here to the Kapalua side, and we'll do some whale watches and some snorkeling. I mean, I think over the years we've even had some surf lessons. And some outrigger canoe paddling. So it's really great to see what they're interested in and bring that to life for them. So hopefully we can even continue to bring that aloha spirit and show them all that Maui has to offer.
Yeah, and whale watching. I imagine that would be maybe on somebody's list to go out on one of the big boats and see if they could. It's so incredible when they come up, the whales come up. And I understand there's quite a few out already. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. Justin, I don't know if you've seen any, because you spend a little more time on the course than I do.
Yeah, I haven't seen any yet, but I've definitely kept my eyes out.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I know, Danielle, Justin was going to say, too, when I think he got cut off, but we have this awesome product. It's called the Lookout. It's on 11. And we called it the Lookout because you can look out from 11 to Honolulu Bay and watch the surfers and the whales. So that's a great product. And hopefully I'll be able to go look out and see some whales from over there in the next coming week.
Oh, the couple.
But I'm not sure.
Yeah. The couple of times that I was flying over on one of the little airlines, you know, straight into Kapalua, it was amazing to fly because you see the pods right below you. It's like, oh, look at all these big creatures that have come to visit us. It's really quite wonderful. So as head of operations, do you have volunteers who help?
Oh, yeah. We have a ton of volunteers. Amanda and I actually handle the volunteers together. Part of it, you know, Amanda, this is her fourth tournament. She started off with handling volunteers solely the first few years. Now we've gotten support from PGA Tour headquarters and myself included. But I mean, we couldn't do this without the volunteers. We have some that have been doing this for 30 years, and I swear every conversation I have with them, I learn more and more about the tournament that I didn't even know that we used to do. So every time we bring up a new idea or something that could work, they're like, we've tried that before. Like, it doesn't there. And then they tell us some reasons why it might not work so well. And a lot of times they're spot on. So we really rely on their knowledge and their expertise. And I mean, it's incredible their dedication that they give to this tournament. It's more than a full-time job at some points.
Yeah. And does that go with helping with construction?
Not construction per se, but they're definitely involved with, you know, when we have packages delivered, organizing and sorting, inventorying, that kind of stuff. Less obviously from a liability perspective, we have our construction team is handled by an outside vendor. We actually have 12 guys come in from the mainland who handle most of the construction, but volunteers definitely help in every other aspect.
Is there a need for more volunteers?
Always, yeah, we could always use more volunteers. And we have incredible volunteer leadership that will take people under their wings and explain and help and show the right way to do things without making anyone feel uncomfortable. I mean, it's such a welcoming, and I mean, Amanda hit on the head with the aloha spirit. It's such a great atmosphere, and we definitely, the more volunteers we can get, the better.
Yeah, and if you'd like to volunteer, Century Tournament of Champions. It's all you got to do is put that in the search engine on your computer or on your phone, and it'll take you to Century Tournament of Champions. And then you can see it says volunteers, and then you just, you know, click on that or press that, and it'll help you sign up and get become a part of everything, because it's really, really exciting to be a part of the Century Tournament of Champions. Do we know, will the blessing, do we know when that's going to happen and all of the different events that happen around the opening of Century Tournament of Champions? Can you give us an idea?
Yeah, Danielle, that's a great question. So Thursday is our first official day. Don't forget, we are open on Wednesday. We have our Pro-Am day, which is an exciting day. I think you'll see some familiar faces in terms of celebrities out there, so be sure to check that day out. But Thursday will be our Aloha kickoff, and it'll be about 30 minutes prior to the first tee. We'll have our beloved Clifford Na'ai'ole and his Hanau out there helping us out. So come on out, check it out. It's a great way to kick off the week.
That'll be January 4th through the 8th. So Thursday the 4th we're talking about. Wednesday the 3rd is the Pro-Am. I think all the Pro-Am spots are already taken. Is that correct? Do we know?
I think we may have one spot left. Ooh. Just from someone who might have gotten injured with a shoulder injury this week that we just found out last minute. So you can definitely contact Max or myself for that. And we'd love to host you and get you set up in the Pro-Am.
Right.
It would be spectacular.
Do we go to CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com or do we have to reach out to you directly?
There's a form on CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com you can fill out, but otherwise reaching out to Max directly is a great way to get a hold of that spot. It's surely to be picked up very quickly.
Okay. Yes, there's only 31 days, 23 hours, and 59 minutes until the Century Tournament of Champions. So obviously just around the corner, and you want to, if you're going to be in the Pro-Am, and some of the celebrities that we've had playing the Pro-Am, it's just a who's who of all the different, from movie stars to chefs from around the world. It's wonderful. Big business people. But really the reason that Century Tournament of Champions does, it could be just a private affair, people, but no, PGA Tour Century Tournament of Champions, raising money for the community, for Kama'aina, here in Hawaii. And Century is committed to Maui, so much so that they've created the connected communities between Stevens Point in Wisconsin and Maui, the whole island. And it's of course for education, business development, lots of different things. The brainchild of the head of Century has really heart and soul into this whole project of and just making everything better. Yeah, I love that part about Century. It's a really amazing. So Kama'aina and the commitment we have to local families and residents. Justin, do you want to address that first?
Yeah, absolutely. We have an amazing partnership with Mauna Loa this year, which will allow us to continue to offer Kama'aina tickets. I believe each day is $20 to $25 cheaper per ticket for Kama'aina with a Hawaiian ID. So really incredible experience there, just offering that. And that's not changing in the future. That's one of our favorite things about this event, is being able to support the locals, support the community. And I mentioned before about all the shipping that we do from the mainland and the vendors that we bring over from the mainland. But I do want to touch on all the local vendors that we use here that really bring this tournament to life. I mean, in our main fan areas, we have Outrigger Pizza, Big Wave Shave Ice, mm-hmm. Joey's Kitchen, and Castaway Cafe, all the Taste of Maui. So those are all home runs right there. And then at Fan Time on 9, in between 9 and 3, we have Marienda Maui and Aloha Braise. So all our local, all our food partners are local, and just really exciting stuff there.
Yes. Mauna Loa is the parent company of Mauna Loa Macadamia. And what they've done is they've made it possible to bring the price down. Wednesday, January 4th, it's $15. Thursday and Friday, it's $40. And Saturday and Sunday, it's $50. And that, of course, is with the, that's the Kama'aina ticket program celebrating the 2023 Century Tournament of Champions, the 25th year. It's really quite amazing how much has gone back. And thank you to Ed Schultz, president and CEO of Hawaiian Host, the parent company of Mauna Loa Macadamia. They said, "We are honored to partner with the Century Tournament of Champions as the PGA Tour kicks off its season with one of the premier events of the year." And now I'd like to hear from Amanda about your thoughts.
Yes, I think this is our third year now working with Ed, and he's just a fabulous supporter of this event. He's always great to work with, and we're just so excited to expand the program with Mauna Loa. But expanding onto, you know, our local community, we couldn't do it without them. It's the spirit you feel when you get to this tournament of the support and the people that rally behind you from all of our charities that get out there. I mean, we have Holly Makua doing our ecology and helping us, and the Boy Scouts help with our rope and stake, and we have Kalima O'Malley, who helps us as well with our setup of some of our picnic tables, and Lahaina Luna High School Foundation. So, I mean, I think it's really, really unique in terms of the stops on the tour, because not many have that many people within their community that are out there helping you with the setup. And I think that's what's unique about being here on an island, is your island and your community, and they really get behind you, and it's really the ohana that you build here. So it's awesome, and I can't wait for other people and Max to experience it for the first time, and it's going to be awesome. So hopefully everyone's able to come and check it out, and we're just so excited to kick off the new year with our 25th anniversary.
It's awesome. It is. It really is. I can't wait to be there. Amanda Wolf is tournament manager, and Justin Slavin is head of operations. Century Tournament of Champions is January 4th through the 8th. Of course, Kapalua Plantation Course, Coeur and Crenshaw created the Plantation Course. And we really thank you very, very much, both of you, for taking time out of your Saturday morning to be on the show. Thanks a lot.
Of course. Thanks, Danielle. Oh, can't wait to see you in January.
Yeah, we'll see you in January, Amanda. Yep.
Thank you, Danielle.
Look forward to meeting you, Justin. Thank you very much.
Thank you as well. Aloha.
Aloha. We're going to come back. Bob Herrig. Yes, we're going to talk with Bob about all kinds of stuff going on. Yes, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
O-K-O-R-L, Y-N-I, Honolulu.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Iwate. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Hoipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Hoipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Only three parts to the golf swing: the backswing, the impact position, and follow through. So why is my head exploding? Let's go back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
We ask ourselves that question all the time. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, Sports Illustrated, author, Tiger and Phil, golf's most fascinating rivalry. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hey, good morning, Danielle. Good. And the rivalry continues, right?
Yes.
They couldn't be farther apart on the state of golf right now. And I could probably write another book. I just on that part.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. You must feel like, gosh, you know, I've left so much out.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when I was completing the book, if anything, it looked like their relationship might be somewhat cordial. You know, the way it looked at the time, basically late in 2021, was that they were going to head down this path of sort of being, elder statesmen, for lack of a better term, well-regarded champions who you might think could, if they got the right circumstances, maybe contend in a major here or there as time went on. And but obviously, you know, the golf world has been turned upside down, and you know, they actually only played in one tournament together in 2022 at the Open, where they both missed the cut, you know. And so they're not going to be playing together in PGA Tour events. There's clearly a lot of animosity there, and for obvious reasons.
Can I ask you, you know, I haven't figured out why Phil Mickelson decided, what did Greg Norman say to him that made him think that this would be a really great opportunity for him?
Yeah, listen, I think we've all wondered that. I mean, look, who knows what his financial situation was at the time. You know, he has denied being in any kind of financial difficulty. He has denied, he said, I've been set financially for years. So if it was $200 million he got, and if it was up front like we think, and you take out $80 million in taxes, so you got $100 million. I mean, I guess here's the way I look at that. If this had never come along, Phil could have easily been the one to replace Nick Faldo in the CBS booth.
So yeah.
Would Phil not have made $10 to $15 million a year doing that? You know, yeah. Like, so let's say Phil did that over 10 years and it was $10 million. So there's $100 million right there. He still would have had all of his endorsements. He would have still had all kinds of outings and appearances and things like that. He could have dabbled in the Champions Tour, where, you know, the money isn't huge, but it's still decent. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is the difference wouldn't have been that great. And that's why I'm surprised, I guess, when you look at it from a money standpoint, and what he's potentially done to his legacy. I say that understanding where he's coming from with his squabbles about the money on the PGA Tour. I completely understand that. I think there is an argument to be made that the tour could have done better by its stars. And we're seeing that now with these programs they've unveiled.
Uh-huh.
You know, but still, yes. he didn't wait for that. Look, he wasn't probably going to be able to cash in on it anyway. But you know, it is an interesting conversation as to, you know, like financially, how much more has he gotten out of this than he might have anyway.
Yeah, and the money thing is really bothering me. It's like nothing is worth unless it's $100 million here, $200 million there. You know what? How can you spend all that money unless you're gambling yourself away? But how do you spend that much money in a lifetime and then giving your kids $100 million each? It just doesn't seem like we're going in the right direction when it comes to what is important in life. That's all.
Listen, you know, that's why I think this is so controversial. There's the sense that, you know, how much money do you need? Now, beyond the stars, the money is life-changing for some of these guys, you know, and I don't want to dismiss that.
No.
Eugenio Chikara, who he'd have been a senior at Oklahoma State this year, scrapping for nickels and dimes. You know, instead, he signed with Liv, who had no status on the PGA Tour, would have had very little opportunity through the PGA Tour university thing. He would have got Corn Ferry starts. Instead, he signed a 3-year deal. I'm sure there was, you know, 7 figures involved at least. And he won a tournament. He won the tournament in Thailand, which was worth $4 million. I mean, you know, he set himself up quite nicely. And look, they've employed people. Liv has put people to work. You know, they've got over 125 employees. You know, so it's not just the golfers. But the golfers are the ones we focus on. And it's fair to wonder how much is enough.
Yeah, that's it. And I'm sorry, I can't pronounce the young man's name who just won on the Live Tour. Not only did he win the $4 million for himself, but for his family. You know, that's the beauty of it. You can set up your mom or your dad, you know, whoever is there for you. And I can totally understand that. It's just these big stars, these guys who've got so much money already, they're, you know, flying around in their private jets, maybe two of them, who knows. It just seems like, God, you guys come, hello, us little people down here don't understand you right now. Cam Smith, wow, I did not expect him to miss the cut in the Australian Open. Were you surprised?
Yeah. You know, yes, because it's not a strong field, and he did make the 36-hole cut, but they have a 54-hole cut to only 30 players. So that's a little unusual. You know, so he was going to maybe finish outside the top 30. I'm not aware of another tournament that has a 54-hole cut that goes to that small of a number, but I saw a story overnight where he thought he had missed the 36-hole cut, and he stayed out late and probably had a little bit too much fun. It was late when he realized, I made it, and I've got a 7 a.m. tee time. So, you know, I'm not sure he was at his best on Saturday. Their Saturday, and I think he shot 69 anyway, but he was so far down that he would have had to really shoot a good score to finish in the top 30.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, he won last week, you know, in his homecoming. He won 5 times worldwide this year. It's been a heck of a year, the Liv controversy notwithstanding. And it's going to be really interesting to see now how this plays out for him because, you know, obviously he's not going to be in any PGA Tour events. And unless Liv gets world ranking points, he's going to probably slip some. And, you know, does he pick off some other events? Because he won last week and that's the DP World Tour event, he has a 2-year exemption. Of course, that is all up in the air too, pending legal stuff with the DP World Tour. But, you know, that could be an avenue for him if they prevail. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know. I mean, that's a guy who, you know, was headed to superstardom. And now, you know, he has taken the risk of being somewhat irrelevant, you know. And we'll see him at the majors, but how sharp will he be?
That's the problem. You know, you have to play up to your strengths all the time. You know, people who are competing, you're competing against, you are lifted up into their level. So if you're only working on sort of in between your best, then you're not going to get really good because everybody's playing on this, 50%. But if you're playing against people who are going 100%, you've got to strive and you get that sharpness and you don't lose that sharpness because you're always at that level competing. And that's a really good point. I was looking at John Rahm, his statements. That Liv's been good for the game and for fans, but he's never jumped ship. What's up with that? I don't understand.
I think John recognizes that some of these things that the tour has come up with might not have happened if it weren't for Liv, or might not have happened so quickly.
Yes.
You know, that was Phil's point. You know, and we'll never know, but I think there's something to it. I mean, you and I have talked on here before. I've written it several times. The Liv idea was not just new this year. There was a forerunner to it with the exact same blueprint, basically. 54 hole events, 48 players, teams. They were going to do things a little bit differently, but it was the same idea. Upfront money for players. And that's been out there for 4 or 5 years. They were behind the scenes trying to do this. So the PGA Tour knew full well that this possibility existed, and that the reason behind them getting any traction was agents and players started to buy into the idea, why are we having to play golf and not be assured of anything unless we make a cut? And while, you know, that's one of the sort of the, you know, I think one of the romantic parts of golf is that you earn what you make by playing well. It's also not realistic in a world that's all about entertainment. And you're going to travel to a site and be part of the show for 2 or 3 days, and they make money off of you, but you're not assured of anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I understand that. And that's where I think the tour was, you know, they just miscalculated. I don't think they ever thought it was going to get off the ground. And so they decided they didn't need to do anything. And then when they decided to do something, it was too late. Nobody foresaw these numbers that Liv came up with.
Well,
nobody foresaw that.
No. They have a pot of gold that doesn't end, you know, it's like bottomless. But by the same token, I get confused because there's the player advisory board. You know, the players own the PGA Tour. The players have the power to do what they want to do. Why didn't they take the reins and say, you know what, this is what we're going to do?
Well, we don't know what went on behind the scenes. The tour does have a board, and, you know, it's comprised of players and executives. And, you know, my sense is that the players on something like this defer more to the businessmen.
Oh.
You know, and and while there might have been some pushing to get some of this done, it just, you know, until Tiger and Rory met in Delaware back in August and had this meeting in which they outlined these ideas, and the tour, like within a week, you know, instituted it. I mean, I don't know if there was a plan like that. But I mean, suddenly the PIP went from $50 million to $100 million. The tournament purses, like the, you know, the Century had already been raised to $15 million. I believe it was like 10 last year, or this year, 2022. It'll be 15. The other elevated events are going from like 8, 9, 10 million to 20.
Mm-hmm.
The Players' Championship is going to 25.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the title sponsors are having to kick in for this, but so is the tour. And it's fair to wonder, you know, you just added $50 million to the PIP. You added all this prize money. It's fair to wonder where it's coming from. Well, I mean, now listen, I'm not an expert on that kind of stuff, but for them to dip into that is my understanding is that's not lawful.
Exactly.
Like, you can't you can't just dip into a, and there's, you know, there's, they probably have $1 billion in liabilities in that pension plan. You know, I mean, if you borrow from it, that has to become public, and, you know, there's all sorts of rules and regulations about that. You know, companies that are hurting do that a lot. And it becomes a huge deal when their retirees are like, wait a minute.
Exactly.
You know, that's supposed to be for us. So I don't really think the tour did that. I think they had sufficient reserves. I think they went to, you know, their title sponsors and got them to step up. And, you know, here we are.
And here we are. You know, all of a sudden there's a boatload of money. And I, you know, I don't know. I wish they'd be more transparent. I need to ask you a question. I was going through our notes from, you know, years ago, and the PGA Tour Policy Board and the Pace of Play Policy, they were going to list the slow players. And they were going to, you know, keep a list. Once a player was on the list, he would be more likely to be timed. Did anything come of all that, or did they decide that was not a cool thing to do?
No, I think they're doing it. It's just they don't make it public.
Ah.
And so it's behind the scenes, and I think the slow pokes know who they are, and other players know. And, you know, unfortunately, the best, you know, The best, I think, pushback on slow play is public ridicule.
Yes,
you know, and if you would put that out there, that's pressure. You know that the whole world thinks that you're slow. You know, why not try to use that as some leverage to get guys to speed up. You know, so but that's just not. You know, just like fines and things like that, the tour doesn't disclose that. And, you know, we don't know their financials until a couple years later when their tax return becomes public. It doesn't become public the very year it's filed. So it takes a little while to catch up, you know? So all these things are, like you said, yeah, you wish there was some more transparency. I don't mean to knock the PGA Tour, certainly. I think they do a ton of great stuff.
Yes.
It's a great place. It's been terrific for forever. And look, the prize money, the FedEx Cup, there's all kinds of ways to make a lot of money. But it's, you know, it's really based on performance. And we have, you know, we've sort of kind of molded into, you know, it's also an entertainment vehicle. I had an agent tell me a long time ago, he made a great point. He said, you know, when George Clooney makes a movie, he doesn't make the movie and then wait to see how it does and get paid based on ticket receipts. He gets, you know, yes, he might have some of that on the back end, which would be prize money for a player, but he also has a guarantee on the front end.
Exactly.
You know, and it's because he's a star that he gets that, you know, and so, you know, it's kind of a, you know, that's sort of what, you know, in every other, you know, in all team sports, guys are guaranteed money, you know, whether they perform or not. So this is where we are now. I think with golf, LIV's opened people's eyes to that. It doesn't mean that people have to like LIV, but it is the reason why I think it exists.
Bob Herrig, thank you so much. I hope you can join us as this end of the year comes along. We need to thank our sponsors, Bob Herrig, senior writer, Sports Illustrated, MD Restoration. Hey, the holidays are here. Is your home, your carpets, you know, the company, is everything nice and spiffed up? Call MD Carpet Restoration. Their number is 808-528-3434. You can get ready, clean up the messes that might happen when you've got the family and friends over. All that excitement that goes on during the holidays, you never know what spills. MD Restoration, they're the same folks you call for flood and other disasters. Mold remediation, for instance, give them a call. CyPack for cybersecurity. Maybe you saw Attila Cerez on PBS. Maybe you need help figuring out how to protect yourself. Their number is 861-9595. Online, CyPack.com. Aloha Power Equipment, the Aloha Power Equipment Superstore, has the commercial landscape equipment you need in stock to take on the biggest jobs they can throw at you. MD Restoration is your Honda, Steel, Maruyama, Echo, Billy Goat dealer. Century Tournament of Champions, a Century Tournament of Champions on Maui, January 4th through the 8th. Get your tickets, become a volunteer, become a sponsor. Go to CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com. And thank you to the Aloha Section PGA. If you want to get good at this game, get in touch with the Aloha Section. Find yourself a PGA. They love the game. They've learned the game. They know how to teach the game. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2022.